is today the scientific responsible for the laboratory. Was the first Italian to publish on HBR an article, and then to publish a book with HBS. So it did quite relevant work, especially in what we call the design-driven innovation area. So I firstly published a paper in 2006 named Innovating Through Design. Then in 2009 we published a book which with another business press named Design-Driven Innovation. So exactly the topic that we are addressing during the week. And the laboratory mainly develop three kinds of activities. The first one is the one that we are doing also now, so teaching. The laboratory is composed by mainly 10-15 people that belong in the faculty that I mentioned before. And we do a lot of teaching stuff, both in the MBA programs delivered by MIP or joint business schools such as the SORI one. But we deliver also several teaching programs towards through other formats. So we have a quite broad catalog of what we call short courses, so small courses dedicated for executive people that can attend just a couple of days monothematic course, very vertical for specific reasons. The second activity that we, the laboratory takes care of is about research. So the laboratory in itself is a research laboratory. Mm-hmm. So we try to discover new stuff that at the end of the day we transfer in the teaching area. This means that we do a lot of case studies, we do a lot of surveys, we do a lot of collaboration with companies that allow us to understand a little bit more how they use to manage innovation and design issues. And the third activity is probably the most relevant one, is the core business, if you want, of the laboratory, in the sense that the MIP deliver a lot of customized programs, so programs that are dedicated to specific corporations. And as part of the MIP, the laboratory do a lot of projects in terms of corporate coaching. So we do several projects in collaboration with companies facing the real challenges that they are facing and attacking. So we do projects with them. We do projects especially in the innovation of meanings area. So our main activity is try to help them in reinventing the offering, reinventing the brand, reinventing the perception that user can have when they get in touch with these companies. So for example, now we are doing quite two big projects with Gucci. One is about the retail experience that they are trying to reinvent, and one is about more the process that usually they adopt in order to innovate stuff, so it's more organizational.
So one is manufacturing, one is retail.
Sorry?
One is retail kind of thing?
Yeah.
And other
the first one is really retail, so reinventing the retail. The second one is more, I would say, an organizational change. So how you can organize internally in order to manage the innovation.
So that is
process.
A service organization or
manufacturing
kind of?
The second one is we are trying to define with them the innovation process they should adopt for service innovation.
For service innovation.
Because we are entering in a small detail, I don't know if it's so relevant for you, but the product innovation is really in charge for the style, that is really a word quite independent from the rest of the company. It's a sort of island. But the rest of the company work a lot on services for several reasons, services that you can deliver through the retail staff, services that can be useful for the production process, for the distribution process, so they innovate a lot also on the service side. And they ask us to reflect a little bit with them in order to improve how they manage this process. We did some projects in the past with Alfa Romeo. We closed the project just a few months ago. Alfa Romeo is an automotive brand belonging to the Fiat Chrysler automobile group. Is the historical one. And
what was the outcome desired of that exercise? Automobile?
We in the case of Alfa Romeo, we worked with them on three areas. The first area was about brand design, so how to revitalize some old values that unfortunately
get lost
or hidden or forget it. then work a little bit on the product size, so what will be the signs and the languages, the styles that in any case will belong to the future models, even if we don't have the competencies to design a new car, obviously. Then we have worked with them also on the retail area, so how we can reframe the experience that user can have in visiting car dealer or car
better experience
dealer.
And
finally we did a small stuff on the distribution strategy, because they work a lot also with companies selling fleet instead of single cars, and this distribution channel is completely different from the consumer one. So how they sell fleet of cars to companies is completely different from the way they sell single cars to final consumers. But it was quite interesting because, you know, if I'm not wrong, in May, the CEO, that now is also the CEO of Ferrari, decided to put together three brands that they consider are the premium one. So Alfa Romeo is moving towards Ferrari, Maserati. There will be the three brands of the Fiat group that will be the premium segment. And there is Fiat and a little bit lower segment and stuff like that. Then I can go on with any other example, but I don't know if it's so.
Can you say innovation is any new idea that works is innovation?
We had a long discussion yesterday at the beginning with the class about what innovation is or what is not. We used to say that a new proposal can be considered an innovation only if it will be able to allow the proponent to capture the value connected to this new proposal. So innovation is made by two main elements. The value creation piece is the one that you need in order to propose something new, something that is different from what is already present in the market, but then you need also the capability to capture the potential value embedded in this new proposal. And we had a long discussion because if you look especially at the last years, I would say that big innovators are the one that
take big risks.
Were very clever in doing new stuff in the value capturing area, in the sense that if you look at some of the best innovators in the last decades, Apple and so on, they didn't propose really something completely new in comparison to what the competitors were already proposing, but they were able to create a system around the proposal that allowed them to capture the value from them. So the iPad, the iPod, the iPhone examples are all examples that underline how much is important to think since the beginning about the value capturing strategy that you will put in place in order to valorize what you have created.
So do you mean to say when suppose a company or organization wants to do some innovation, they must be very clear about the result they want to acquire out of it?
Surely, I think that is not enough to have clear idea about what they want to obtain. But the big challenge to me is think since the beginning at the way you will be able to get the value from the market. So especially the 90s, at the beginning of 2000, was mainly dedicated to tools and frameworks that allow you to create more ideas. I feel the need now for new frameworks and tools that allow you to have a clear vision since the beginning, that allow you to leverage on few ideas, and it's not strictly necessary that these ideas should be generated by you, can be also generated by someone else, but you have to build the vision that allows you to understand how these ideas can be developed, and consequently how you can get the value from these ideas.
You have to have value proposition in place when you do some innovation.
I don't know if you agree with me about this, but at least looking at the company that we interact with, the real need that they have is not to get in touch with additional ideas. I would say that many companies are full of ideas, but the problem is
execution,
that allow them to select the ones that fit with their brand identity, that fit with the merging strategy, that are sustainable in the long term in comparison to their competitors. So these are really the challenge that I perceive working with these kind of companies. And this is also the reason why, from a research point of view, we are really eager in understanding how a new vision can be created instead of a new idea. That at the end of the day will be necessary in any case. You can't be innovative without something new. But it's something that you can quite easily collect working with other people, scanning around the world. So I don't perceive that today the problem is having ideas, but is having the vision that allow you to focus and to select those ideas that are really valuable. And probably, again, if we look at the main innovators in the last decades, they are companies that show clear vision, maybe few innovations. If you look at Apple, and maybe we will see in the future if it will be the same or not, but they launch few products, each of them really radical, each of them with a clear vision. So they didn't need too much ideas, but they have a strong vision about how the life of their users should be. And you can agree with them or not. The numbers say that a lot of people agree with them, but the vision is clear. And you can agree with it or not. It's up to you.
So that way, any successful company for last 30 years has a clear vision. They are having an uptrend of revenues, increasing profitability, increasing sales. So can we call all of them as innovative and have, because they have a clear vision of, like Microsoft when started, he had a clear vision like 10 years beyond the line, he will be multimillionaire kind of thing.
Tough question.
Or he achieved it by chance.
Tough question. I have to say that I don't believe they are able to sustain their business by chance. Or maybe you can be an innovator by chance once, but then if you will repeat, and the case studies that we are discussing in the class are exactly about companies that were able to show a systematic capability to innovate. They didn't just once, but they didn't many times. This is the, at least in my view, the behavior that can allow you to sustain your business in the long term. So I would not leave the innovation phenomena as just the opportunity to, okay, so be so lucky that identifying the great idea, you can get for a while a good portion of the market share, but I would look at the innovation as a capability that the company can progressively create and
add some value every time.
Should be demonstrated by.
So repeated success can be connected to company being innovative. 10 new products, all different products, all hit in the market. company can be termed as innovative?
In a long-term perspective, yes. To me, there is no innovation if there is no success. In the sense, innovation is intrinsically also an economic issue, so it's the capability to capture the value. Even if the world is complex and the world is really various, so sometimes it could happen that you are able to get a lot of value even if your proposal is not so valuable. But this is not something that can go on for in long-term perspective. So if you are asking to me the same question in a long-term perspective, my answer should be surely yes. Maybe in a while it could happen that it's not completely true.
All innovations result into success? Is that always?
How do you define success?
Success means whatever I want to achieve, I am able to achieve by means of what I am planning to do.
That's too subjective. It has to be more objective.
And it is purely objective. I can give a number of examples for that. So
I used to say during the class that...
So, for example, in the beginning of a class, my target is each student of the class should attain 90% and above. And I am trying new methods and measures throughout my class of say 60 days or 100 days. And everybody is able to achieve 90% and above, even the dumbest of the child. So, I mean, can I be treated as a successful innovator?
I used to say in the class that in any case, the word success is a relative reflection. So it's really depend by the objectives that you put at the beginning and the context that you have to face going from the objective to the results. And accordingly to this reflection, I would say that in any case, it depends by the starting point. It depends by what you want to obtain. So something that can be successful for a company can't be for another one if it started from different contexts and different objectives. Then this is a very tricky question, and this is a very tricky reflection, because then you can, I would say, play a little bit with this definition, considering all the stuff that the company can do as a success, reducing the objective that you declare at the beginning. So it's really a matter of, I would say, it's mainly ethical issues. So it really depends how you define the objectives. If you would define the objectives in a fair way, by fair I mean asking to yourself the best that you can do according to the context that you have to face, I would say that yes, the success is the capability to reach what you have set it at the beginning. And obviously if you would obtain something more, you will be more successful, but it's really relative. So it's really about the capability to reach what you have planned at the beginning, if the objectives are set in a fair way.
But there are many examples, like our younger generation, what they are doing is school passed or college passed, building a new portal with an entirely new concept and becoming a hit overnight. And then his or her portal is being offered for a value by a big player in the market. So that is something innovative, no? I mean, the guy has come out with a very brilliant idea.
It is, but what was the objective of?
No objective in the mind. Like, it was just a passion kind of thing. Built and launched.
The passion is part of it.
But with perfection.
But passion, the fact that you are doing by passion, the fact that you are doing because you love it, the fact that you are doing for your satisfaction is part of the objectives. So again, it's really tricky because it depends by the way you define the objective. The objective is not only, okay, I would reach, this kind of profit, this.
Yeah, I mean, this guy has no estimation skill that he will be able to
achieve. Also, I would do this stuff, and my objective is realize my dream, realize my personal desire. So it's really depend by how you set the objectives, and consequently you will reach something that is valuable and consequently innovative or not.
So can we say innovation is something inherited with human mind right since beginning, when the manhood started, the human being emerged on the earth. Otherwise, the civilization would not have reached to this stage. So at every stage, there were a lot of innovations from monkey to man, man to...
I would say that I would love to look at the innovation from this perspective. in any case, a sort of engine that allows us to go forward, to challenge what we have already in our hands, and then go forward. So from a social point of view, if you look at the role of innovation from a social point of view, I would say that the interpretation that you gave to me, it's really intriguing. At the end of the day, and this was something that you were discussing also today, the reason why I don't believe always users can be the source of information for innovation is connected to the fact that in my mind, companies, so the organization that should take care about innovation, from an ethical point of view, should have the responsibility for improving the life of the society. So, okay, you have to listen what the customer are asking to you because you are delivering something for them, but are you really sure that they are the only interlocutor that you have to listen in order to deliver an improvement of life quality? Probably they don't know what they need, or they don't know completely what they need in order to improve their lives. So it's a matter of your social responsibility to deliver something that, even if it's not requested by the society, will be able to improve the quality of their life.
So need, danger, and problem is the creator of innovation, we can say?
Yeah.
When you are in danger and you have no means to save yourself, you try something to save yourself. And suppose you are safe after that big danger, you adopted some innovative ideas to get yourself out of that.
Yeah, maybe I'm right. I don't know if I can reframe a little bit the reflection, saying that if you are focusing just on needs that people have, you can do a great job. But from my perspective, maybe a little bit too optimistic looking at the organization, is not enough to be innovative, in the sense that needs describe problems. But I don't believe that innovation could just solve problems. But innovation could also create opportunities, or I would say
growth,
new visions, new growth, independently by the fact you have already identified the problem, then you are solving it.
Surely
there are a lot of problems in our world, and innovation can be used also to solve them.
Okay.
Sure. But I feel also the need to create alternatives. So it's not only a matter of I don't know how to say, it's not only a matter of reduce the negative aspect that you are able to perceive, but it's also a matter of proposing positive alternatives, and so creating something that allow people to do differently what they are used to do, that usually is not just solving a problem, but creating alternatives, visions, platforms where user can jump in and create something
new. So organizations, it means organizations which value more ideas from their people are more towards innovation.
Yeah, we used to say that you have to put at the center of your reflection people in order to be able to recognize the value that they are looking for more than the problems that they perceive.
So more you give, more you get, kind of thing.
Yeah. And talking about people instead of user, engage people instead of user, allow you as a company to look at the environment in a slightly different way. You are not looking at the people as the ones that will use your product, but you are able to look at them as humans that going through some experience will be able to improve the quality of their life. This is the kind of innovation that we feel is less sustained by tools and frameworks, and this is the reason why we feel the need for new research in this area. So we were discussing in the afternoon how to move from innovation of solution to the innovation of meaning. So moving from solving problems to create new interpretation, new vision, new way of thinking about the reality that you have to interact with. I feel, according to my experience, that companies are really looking for this kind of innovation, because we spend 2-3 decades in order to inform them, train their managers how to create new stuff. And now we are playing off new products, new services, but sometimes we really lose the reason why we need them. So we have to do a step back, looking more at the reason why, at the deep reason why people should love a bag or a bottle in comparison to just keep them in order to deliver functions and then that's it.
Can we say setting high goals and high targets leads to more innovations, organization level? I set a target which is unimaginable kind of thing. Suppose I am 10 million company, and I set a target that I have to become 1,000 million in say 5 years. Now give me ideas, all people in the organization, right from bottom to top. So that can lead to some innovation. I give more liberty to them, more space, without compromising with the quality and service of the company, definitely.
But what do you mean exactly by high target?
High target means something which is not possible under normal circumstances. For example, a car seller at number 10 in India sets a target for his organization that we have to become number 1 in next 5 years. Now you start giving ideas, let us sort out the best of the ideas, let us implement these ideas, and let us see the result, kind of. So can we say more innovation, higher innovation, or more innovation is directly proportional to high risk also? High targets, high risk, more chances of innovation?
I believe that you can't innovate if you don't take a good portion of risk. So in any case, risk is piece of innovation. It's something that you have to take care of, but at the same time you don't have to delay it. It's part of the innovation process. And in this sense, challenging yourself with high targets, I would say strong objective, is a way that allow you to be more innovative.
So vision is clear, mission is not yet clear, but still you are striving for it. You are forcing something to happen. So it means if you keep on doing your routine things in life as a person, individual, you leave very less scope for innovation in life. And if you keep on doing things differently or different things in life, you get a better chance of doing something new, and maybe that may be termed as an innovation later. So I see innovation in two ways. One is I did something wonderful. I didn't know I'm doing something wonderful. I did, it hit, and it made me popular worldwide, and then people wrote book on me that I am a highly innovator kind of guy. I never anticipated it, I just did it out of blue. Second is a person, like you said, a person should have a vision, clear-cut vision, and then there have to be some environment, discipline.
But why you see that the two examples that you mentioned disconnected? Yeah,
because these are two different scenarios.
Sorry?
These are two different scenarios.
I don't know, maybe there are some people that has a vision, but at the same time are able to great stuff, to do great stuff, to get a lot of value from the market. So I don't know if they are two different scenarios or they can be overlapped accordingly to the capability.
Maybe.
People.
So can we say people who think more for society are much more successful in innovative manner rather than the people who are totally eccentric towards their own individual goals, achievements, money, targets, kind of thing?
I think that thinking about sustainable innovation, so thinking in innovation that respect also the society, can be relevant in two ways. The first one is, my perception is that customer will react to the innovation, giving more and more relevance to this kind of value. Mm-hmm. So in any case, you will be successful if your innovation will be also sustainable because the market will react in this direction. The second one is more tricky. Sometimes thinking about innovation in a sustainable way challenge you to think differently from the normal one. So at the end of the day, you will be more innovative independently by the sustainable stuff if you think in a sustainable way. So I will use the sustainability also as a sort of trigger.
That is a big risk also for organizations. I mean, for a particular team built in an organization, if they are in sync and they are sustainably innovating, but the moment one or two of the key members of the team change and they're not in sync, the whole things go haywire and probably that sustainability goes off.
So
many big organizations have doomed down like.
This is the reason why, according to my perception, sometimes the sustainability issue were perceived as a sort of inertia towards innovation or as a sort of enemy that you have to fight with. In reality, they can be considered or they can be used as accelerators or catalyzer for doing innovation instead of stopping it. In this case, I would be a little bit optimistic because I see a quite big group of companies that are already going in this direction. So it seems something that companies has already conceptualized, digest, and then they are following. We are not saying that they are all, but there are a quite good group of companies, I would say influential companies, that are going in this direction.
So are there any psychometric tests to measure, like you are more innovative than me or 10 of us, some test, kind of psychometric test?
Objective parameters.
And it measures that, okay, you are very highly high innovator, I am mediocre, she's medium, she's much higher, kind of.
I didn't get the point.
Is there any test?
Test?
Measurement?
For measuring the innovation
factor in a person.
Wow!
There are psychometric tests, I mean, organizations are doing, like, and those are well proven.
Say
this person is
surprised that you asked to me. Surely there are
loyalty factor.
I'm not the right person in order to measure this stuff. I'm surely the person that can talk a little bit about.
So let us believe
is innovative, but I'm not really.
So let us do innovation in this direction.
Sorry?
Let us do innovation in this direction.
Let's do.
Yeah.
I'm open to your proposal. Really, I think that this is it's not in my skills to judge people or to evaluate people according to their capability to innovate. I don't feel really confident with it. I feel that I have to study 10 years of the different stuff in order to
Or can it be measured only if it can be measured only then it can be increased in a person. So can we make it from 0 to 10, 10 to 90, 90 to 100 kind of thing in a person? Or can I demotivate a person to an extent that his 100 becomes 0? So environmental factors are definitely play a lot of role in this. A person, if gets a very great kind of environment, he might lead to a very great achievements in life. But there are people who have started from zero, from right below the ground, and they have reached to the heights.
I was reflecting if the innovative attitude is something that belongs to individuals or the how to say relationship between the challenge you are facing and the individual. So really, I'm
like I read somewhere
going through a territory that is completely unknown from my perspective, but I'm really scared in saying you are innovative 10, you are innovative 20, you are innovative where, in doing what, in
correct.
According to what kind of brief or challenge we are facing. Personally, this is something that I can say. Looking at me, there are surely many territories where I don't believe I'm innovative, and maybe there are few of them where accordingly to what I have already done, accordingly to the sensibility that I was able to create thanks to the people that I talked with, to the discussion that I made, maybe I can be a little bit more innovative. But really, it's a measure that to me is not person specific. It's person problems, person challenge, I don't know, person context specific. Then maybe you can try to figure out, okay, and this is something that we use in the, also when we interact with companies, this kind of profile could be more suitable or innovative for this challenge, while the other one is a little bit less than the other. But really, as a person, oh.
Shall we move for the place where we'll have dinner, and then we can have a conversation continue there? How do you like that? Is fine?
Yeah. I read somewhere like Chinese, what they do is they throw newborn baby in swimming pool.
Yeah,
and that is how they get maximum Olympic golds.
Cool.
So shall we?
Yeah.